Hello and welcome to the Headache Doctor Podcast. We're on this podcast. It's our mission to educate and empower everyone with headaches and migraines so that you can break free from a life of fear of your next headache or migraine and dependence on medication. In today's podcast, we're going to talk about this term primary headaches and what it has to do with you, the person that's dealing with all different types of headaches or migraines, and what you should know about primary headaches and sort of how, if you understand this, it'll allow you to break free in your in a way that drives you to make change. We're also going to talk about our three-step approach to treatment. So someone comes to us and we are helping them solve this problem. What's the approach that we take and why is that useful? How does it answer all these different questions that people with headaches or migraines have? Okay, so we're going to break that down, starting with primary headache. So what is a primary headache? Now, if you're familiar with the term primary headache, it's essentially a classification of headache that means that the headache itself is the problem. There's no underlying issue that necessarily needs to be looked for or can be found with this type of pain presentation. That's different from what's called a secondary headache, or defined as a secondary headache. A secondary headache is a type of headache that stems from some underlying problem. So a secondary headache might be something like a headache on the severe side of things, maybe a headache from a brain bleed or a stroke. Maybe it's a headache from a tumor. Maybe it's a headache, what would be known as a cervicogenic headache, which we talk about on this podcast, which is a headache that comes from the neck. Okay, so there's different types of secondary headaches. Most of the headache diagnoses that are out there, and the big ones being like migraine headache, those are classified as a primary headache, meaning the pain itself is the problem and there's nothing else that can be found or should be found. Now, I'm saying that, and you all, if this is not your first podcast finding me and listening to this, you know that there's problems with that. There's problems with this idea that the pain itself is the problem because it leads us to largely pharmaceutical intervention, so medication management. Because if we take that classification of primary headache and we assume, okay, you have this one-sided pounding, throbbing presentation, it's debilitating, and it's accompanied by light sensitivity, sound sensitivity, maybe you're nauseous or dizzy with it. Now, you have those symptoms, but there's really nothing to find. And so what we're going to do is manage those symptoms. And we're going to manage those symptoms in hopes that we reduce the frequency and the intensity of those so that you can live your life again. All right? Now, medication is the solution there. All right? So the healthcare model, as it's interacting with you, the listener that's dealing with headaches or migraines, if you're classified with a migraine, the layer below that or the layer behind that is this broader classification of primary headache. And what that communicates to the provider is that they don't necessarily need to keep searching. Once they've screened for the things that are scary, which might be like a tumor, brain bleed, things like that, which by and large, like most everyone that's dealing with headaches or migraines, it's not coming from one of those things. It does happen. For example, at Novera Headache Center, the type of people that we attract the healthcare system's good at catching that stuff. So I don't believe we've ever had someone come to us that it wasn't something that we could address, and it was just like, hey, you need to go get screened for something like a tumor that's causing this. Okay. So, but on the flip side, a lot of people have that question, and it's a fair question. It's debilitating pain. It's excruciating, and it's in your head. So there's sense in reasoning. Let's take an image of this to make sure there's not an underlying problem. Okay. So primary headache means the headache itself is the problem. There's not anything else that's causing it. Now, so the good news with having the diagnosis of migraine or primary headache in the primary headache classification, is there isn't something like a tumor. There's no real bad news. It's just kind of bad news because you're told you kind of just have to live with it. Okay. So it's not, you're not dying. It's not going to kill you, but you're also, there's not really a solution here. All right. So you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. It's like, oh, that's good. But also, what do I do about this? Because I can't live my life. All right. And so, and by the way, just if you're listening to this and for some reason I'm the first medical provider you've heard speak about migraine symptoms, and it sounds like I'm describing your scenario, don't take this as a diagnosis. Please go see a healthcare professional. But just listen to the podcast, listen to the other podcasts. And when you enter into the healthcare world and you see that healthcare professional, understand the different lenses that they're looking at your condition through so that you can discern, okay, is this helpful? Do I actually stop here or do I keep searching? And that's the whole point of this podcast, is encouraging people to keep searching or to directly work with us and in our processes so that we can help you, because there are answers. So I'll just cut to the chase and say that primary headache, when it comes to a migraine presentation and this throbbing, pounding pain, it could be stabbing, it could be on one side of the head, could be on both sides, could start in the neck and wrap up and around, could start in the eye and wrap backward. It could be like a band in the forehead. You could have nausea, you could have dizziness, you could present it with all different like variety of symptoms. But that's what we do here at Novera, and we are able to find something that is an underlying problem. And when we fix that, the pain goes away. So by definition, we'd throw that into the secondary headache classification. So a secondary headache, we actually want that because it means that we can treat whatever is underlying. And in this case, we'd say that neck, shoulders, jaw, something in your musculoskeletal system is an issue. It's just been overlooked. And so if we overlook something and we don't understand it, then we're not able to diagnose it properly. And if we don't diagnose it properly, but we think we screened it, then we just say, well, this is a primary headache. And that in a nutshell is what's happening, is we think we're scanning the neck. We think we're evaluating the neck properly. We're getting a still image through an X-ray MRI. And then since the neck seems fine, it's okay, well, this isn't a neck problem. And you still have these migraine symptoms and they respond to medication. So we're going to call this a primary headache. All right. So some of the reasons that this doesn't make sense. So when we think about the types of interventions that you're receiving and the pain presentation and how these symptoms present, like I just want to go through let's rationalize this and see if it makes sense. Let's put it to the test. Okay. So first off, Botox works, okay? Botox is one of the leading interventions. I mean, you have to go through a series of medications before you get Botox. I think that's just because it's expensive and insurance doesn't necessarily want to pay for it. But Botox works for a lot of people. And what is Botox? It's actually paralyzing different muscle groups in your neck and your face and your shoulders, okay? So it's paralyzing the musculoskeletal system. So if we take away the ability for these muscles to generate pain by just paralyzing them, what happens? Well, you feel better. And a lot of people, their migraines will go away for, you know, 2 or maybe close to the 3 month period, and then they're back in the neurologist's office. Okay. So if this is a primary headache, meaning there's nothing underlying that we necessarily need to look for or treat that's causing the pain itself, then what are we doing Botox for, and why is that working? Okay, so that's in that model, it just doesn't really make sense. It doesn't make a lot of sense to for Botox to work if this is just a chemical issue. And I know one of the things that I've heard come out of this model is, okay, so I have the migraine, but the migraine's causing the neck tension, and then if we treat the neck tension with Botox, then you feel better. All right. So it's just a slight tweak so that it makes sense, but it's still fitting into the paradigm that they're looking at it through. So they don't have to really like deal with it if they just like kind of switch things around slightly. Okay. Well, the migraine, yeah, there's nothing to do with the migraine. We can't actually treat the migraine because we don't know the source. But we know that the migraine increases neck tension, so let's treat the neck tension with Botox, all right? I think that's it's a little silly, especially when you get into when you understand just the extent that the musculoskeletal system, and if you understand the problems that can arise and the type of pain that people go through when they have a neck and shoulder dysfunction, and they've had that for years, decades, the likelihood that those issues are causing the head pain, as we've seen with, we're now in year six of business, and we've helped close to 1,000 people with headaches and migraines, that doesn't add up. And we have, like I said, almost 1,000 people that would say otherwise, that their head or neck is actually part of the source or the source of what they're dealing with. Okay. So Botox works. That's number one. Second thing, the same chemical presentation, and this is well documented, can be so the same pain signal that Hey guys, if you are listening to this podcast, the chances are you have headaches or migraines and you're searching for relief outside of medication. Well, maybe you've tried different products on the market or devices, traction units, things like that, but they haven't really scratched that itch and provided you with the relief you're looking for. Well, what we've done here at Novera is taken the principles that we teach and abide by in our in-person care and come up with a product that allows you to apply those same pressures and improving mobility to the upper part of your neck at home. You see, it's called the SAM device, Simple Affordable Migraine Relief. And the device allows you to improve mobility to the upper part of your neck. And we are excited to announce that it's available today on our website. Visit NoveraHeadacheCenter.com, click on the SAM device page where you can look at videos and learn more about the SAM product and purchase it for yourself and start treating your headaches and migraines more naturally without medication. Again, that's NoveraHeadacheCenter.com and click on the SAM device page to purchase your very own SAM device today. Okay, so when we're looking at the brain and how it's picking up this pain signal, it's picking it up through the pathway of the trigeminal nerve most often, all right? Now, what's happening is chemically, when we're saying this is a chemical problem, they're just taking medication and shutting off at a chemical level that pain, okay? Now, it's like if there's a line with connection points from start to finish, it's like they're looking at the middle of this. They're looking at the middle of this start to finish line, all right? So they're looking at the middle of the race and they're saying like, oh, right here, like if we stop them from running right in the middle, this will help. But there's a whole series of events that happen before the pain signal is even sent. And so by their validation of like, if we stop pain through serotonin and these different things in this trigeminal nerve pathway, then someone feels better. Well, then if you take it to its natural origin, pain in that pathway can come from the neck, and that's well documented. So why don't we look and understand the neck better? Okay, so that's number two. So medications, number three is medications can work, but they don't treat. They don't actually treat any underlying problem. So why can we trust that they're at the foundation of this problem? All right. So there's a little bit of this cyclical reasoning in that paradigm of, okay, this is a primary headache because the medication works. And I've heard that before. Okay, well, if this wasn't a primary headache, if this wasn't a chemical problem, then why would the medication work? And so the medication, though, there's not like an underlying issue that the medication is then solving. Most all medications are just sort of intervening in a artificial way. I mean, it's not natural for your body to need medication. Like, the medication isn't restoring a necessarily normal function, especially in this context. It's just sort of masking pain. It's shutting pain off. Pain is this alarm signal. It's telling your brain that something's wrong, and we're essentially shutting off. And so to reason that medication being chemical helps, so then it's a chemical problem, it doesn't make a lot of sense. I use the analogy of like a fire in a house, and it's like, I don't know, this is probably going to be a terrible analogy, but like if the house is burning, the fire alarms go off, right? The smoke detectors go off. And it's like the house is burning, and if the medication just comes in and like shuts all the smoke detectors off because it was just really loud and obnoxious, I mean, the house is still burning. And so it would be weird to like just go take all the smoke detectors out so that loud noise is removed, and then be like, well, it was a smoke detector problem, all these faulty smoke detectors. Like that, like, it sounds crazy. As I say it, it's almost like, it's cringy to say, but I honestly feel like it's pretty close to, how we're treating this. And, I feel like it might even be a little insulting, so I don't want to walk too far into that territory, because these are very intelligent people, the neurologists, the healthcare providers, and often very empathetic as well. So I'm not speaking to their character at all. I'm just speaking to the sort of the problems in the healthcare system and sort of that cyclical reasoning, without poking at any individual. But okay, and then if we think about triggers, another element here is that if you just think about how your symptoms present. If you wake up with pain in the morning, it's okay. How did you sleep? Did you clench or grind your teeth? Do you have an airway issue? Are you able to breathe out of your nose, or are you mouth breathing? Are you snoring? So all of those things have a very real impact on the amount of like tension you carry and the amount of jaw tension. And if that stuff increases, if jaw tension increases, if neck tension increases, and then you wake up and you have a headache, then it serves to reason, well, let's treat and figure out how to reduce the level of tension that's running through your neck and jaw. If the onset is in the afternoon, well, you're upright, you have gravity weighing down on you, you're carrying objects, you're sitting with maybe a forward head or shoulder position, maybe you're doing different tasks that have a certain demand on them that when you're sleeping doesn't. So when you wake up, you might feel better, but as the day moves on, maybe it's mid-morning, maybe it's early afternoon, maybe it's in the evening, all of that catches up to you and your body wasn't able to meet the demands of the day. And then physically, it's just worn out, and then you start to feel these headache or migraine symptoms. Okay, so onset in the afternoon, again, can point to a musculoskeletal problem. Barometric pressure change. So if that's your trigger, barometric pressure has an impact on our body in many different ways. But if you have a joint that's inflamed, and if you have muscle, like tissue tension of inflammation in an area, the barometric pressure dropping is going to increase that pressure gradient, and that joint is not going to like it. And so barometric pressure dropping is a huge trigger for a lot of people. And it seems to be this big mystery, but it's commonly accepted when someone has like knee arthritis that, oh, your joint's not in good shape, and so you feel stiff. But we should apply that same reasoning to the neck and when it comes to headaches and migraines. So if we think of like food triggers, another big one, and hormones probably falls in this category as well. Like, obviously food triggers aren't like they're not a physical thing. It's not like your neck gets tighter when you eat gluten or something, but it does impact your body's threshold. So it drops your body's threshold. You can't tolerate the tension. Whereas before, if all these other systems were working well, your brain can maybe cope with it. Or the increase in inflammation in your body with foods that you're allergic to, that can also mean like you're just more sensitive to this neck problem. And then hormones as well. So estrogen levels, I've talked about this, but as they drop, your threshold will drop. We talked about that with Dr. Leora, and we plan to have her back on. I hope you guys enjoyed that podcast. If you didn't get to listen to it, go back and listen to my interview with Dr. Leora on hormones. Okay. So our three-step approach. Well, before we jump into that, just a quick note. So when you get your diagnosis, of migraine, or when you, if you have the diagnosis of migraine, a few things. Don't assume you need medication, or that that's the only option. Don't stop searching. Pay attention to your triggers. Journal. The things I just laid out, it could be, when you start to think of it this way, it could be really obvious. Like, oh yeah, these things make sense. And my body physically is just telling me it's tired. And then I get these headaches. And then consider your neck, jaw, and shoulders. A lot of people we work with, maybe about 40% or so, they come to us and they don't even think of their neck as having an issue. And part of it is no one's ever even said your neck could be the problem. And if we just ask that question, they start to think about it. They're like, oh yeah, like I could see my neck being a part of this. And just so you know, if you're not in that camp, it's okay. We have a lot of people that are like, I've never really considered my neck to be an issue. And then within, you know, 5 minutes of the first visit, they're like, wow, my neck has a ton of problems in it. So the body's really good at compensating, and you don't always realize what's happening, especially if that pain just directly gets sent into your head instead of you feeling it in your neck. Okay, our three-step approach. So the first step, and this is sort of at Novera Headache Center, this is where we specialize. It's in actually understanding the source of pain. And so the source of pain is most likely going to be something in your musculoskeletal system, so meaning your neck, jaw, shoulders. If we can find the source of pain and reproduce the headache when we push on an area, try to get a joint to move, evaluate how sensitive these areas are, the pain needs to come from somewhere, okay? So we need to find where the pain is coming from, and then we can treat it. So that's number one. Get at the source of the pain. Number two is we need to understand if there's any barriers for you finding relief. So if we work on your neck, if we work on your jaw, is it going to improve, or is there something maybe developmentally that is going to pull you back into this? Is it your anatomy? Do you just naturally have a hypermobile body? Is your, like proportionally, is your neck really, do you have like a long neck? And maybe your head is, like a lot of weight for your neck, and your neck isn't able necessarily, like it's sort of weak, or it's not conditioned enough to even hold your head up, things like that. Another area in this developmental category is airway. And is your airway developed properly? Did you have a tongue tie that limited the expansion of your upper palate, and that sort of impacted your nasal airway, nasal passage? And do we need to correct how you sleep? And are you sleeping in a way that with sleep apnea or clenching or grinding of your teeth is just causing tension to increase? So that's number two, is we need to understand what barriers there are to getting better. Number three is we need to understand systemically in your body, what is impacting your threshold? So is it hormones being irregular or imbalanced? Is it your gut health that your gut needs to heal so that you can get the proper nutrition? Is it sleep, and your sleep needs to be regulated better, and you need to get better quality sleep? And so these things all impact just your general health. And if your general health is off, your threshold will drop. And so when people come to us, the one of the common things that like most people out there would agree to, and I think our medical field would say, is like, well, there's not just one thing. And we would agree with that. There's not just one thing that's impacting someone with headaches and migraines. Now, we will say, generally, there's one thing that's actually causing you to have pain, and it's most likely going to be something in the musculoskeletal system. There's probably things that are impacting your body's ability to get out of that, okay? So to actually heal and get out of this musculoskeletal problem. And there's probably things that are impacting your body's threshold. And so when we take this three-step framework and we put it all together, there's virtually no one that can, like, that we can't understand what's happening to. And so our process is we want to start impacting someone in this way so that time is on our side and the body can start heal overall healing and health of the person, but also the individual like problem in their neck, jaw, or shoulders, and then educate them so they know what to do moving forward. So that's our process in a nutshell. That's why primary, having the diagnosis of migraine in that primary headache category, which means there's nothing else to look for, is a problem. So just to frame this podcast, it is not intended to be necessarily like an attack on any one provider. I'm not trying to, offend anyone who's thought a certain way. It's just, over and over again with every patient we have, just reaffirmed in this process. And then it just feels like I'm compelled to just say it so that it's encouraging to you, the listener. So I hope you find this content helpful. If you haven't listened, this is like, we're coming up on 200 podcasts, but you don't necessarily have to listen to all of them, but look through it as a library, find a podcast that's helpful to you. We're trying to grow our YouTube following, so hop over to YouTube. We're not necessarily able to load the YouTube podcast at the same time as the audio, so there might be a little bit of mismatch, but pop over to YouTube and subscribe there, and we'll get more organized. We'll get there at some point. But I appreciate you all listening and tuning in and faithfully downloading these podcasts. Please share it with a friend. Give us a 5-star review. And then, of course, come out and work with us or contact us so we can help you virtually and take you through that process and this framework. Thank you guys again, and I will see you next week. Hey guys, I just wanted to say thank you so much for listening to the Headache Doctor podcast. I know that you have a lot of options in how you spend your time and how you consume information around headaches and migraines. I just wanted a quick ask, because the only way that we grow this podcast and continue this mission is if you subscribe, share this podcast, and of course, leave us a 5-star review. Those are cherished, and it makes my day when I see someone's story come through as a 5-star review and how this podcast has been able to help you. Thank you so much again for listening to the Headache Doctor podcast, and I'll see you next week.